Welcome to Flying the Coop, a podcast about rethinking how business works and who it should work for.
We are Janelle and Anna, small business owners learning in public as we turn our company Strange Birds into a worker-owned co-op. And today we are wrapping up the year with kind of a retro on where our business has been this year, how we've evolved, and how we're doing it differently.
So here is year one of not officially being a co-op, but having an operating agreement that we're using that you'll hear more.
Goodness, we really thought that by the end of this year, we would have everything squared away. But it turns out, in the US anyway, filing for all of this stuff is really complicated. It takes a long time to get all our ducks in a row.
I think it's not, the filing is actually going to be the easy bit. The thing that, okay, let's give some context. So we hired a lawyer, Jacqueline, episode four. Yeah.
For our second popular episode. Shout out to Jacqueline.
Yeah, she's great. We hired her over a year ago to figure out our operating agreement, how we're going to function as a co-op. And then we hit this big snag. Taxes. Taxes are really hard. We had to make a lot of decisions on how we wanted to keep our books, what compensation would look like for members, what patronage refund would look like. Patronage refund is the profit sharing component of co-op life. And then the big hurdle is Janelle lives in Spain. So yeah. I think that if you weren't so cool and you lived in a much better place than the United States, we would be flying by now. But that's where the taxes and bookkeeping gets really tricky, because we want to make sure that whatever decision we make is a more or less net win for both of us when it comes to our personal taxes. Because who knows, we might have another international member coming down the road. It's hard. So we're about to put our ink on an agreement with a CPA who specializes in co-op bookkeeping and taxes. And we should be officially converted into a co-op. My dream is by the end of January.
Oh, fingers crossed. That'd be really cool. We'll toast to that. Yeah, it's a balancing act, because as Alfred Garcia from our second episode said, that co-ops are built around the complexity of the humans that are within them. And we want our operating agreement to reflect that, but not just the complexity of these two humans, but rather the humans that we will possibly be in the future. So it's really difficult to make something that reflects the two of us and our own peculiarities, like me living in Barcelona, which is awesome, by the way, and also account for what may happen down the medium length road. I think it's maybe an interesting time to check in with you. In our very first conversation, we talked a little bit about how you had to transition from being a sole proprietorship, which is what Strange Birds still is legally, officially, until we do the transfer, but being just a lone eagle, if you will, to working in tandem with to working in tandem with somebody else. And now we are even further into it and further stepping legally into it. How does that feel on a personal level?
I'm so ready. I've been ready for a year. I'm so ready. It feels, this co-op dream that I had years ago, it's I'm at the doorstep and I'm ready to cross the threshold. It does mean there's a lot of work on my end to make the conversion happen as like the legal owner of the company now. I'm spending all day tomorrow after we record this on what I call a CEO day. Janelle and I do this individually. Basically all of the business administration development shit that piles up that you're like, oh, I'll get to that someday. And then you don't. So we try twice a year, both of us, to just take a day and don't look at our emails, don't do client work, and we just knock it out. So my day tomorrow is really complicated stuff of getting my ducks in the row for when we hit go on cooperative life.
You gonna order some bibimbap for emotional support?
I might get patacon. I need plantains and beans. This is how you get through it.
Okay, I have a take one step back question. So you say that you're super ready to go into this next phase. Why do you care so much about this?
About becoming a co-op. I think I waxed poetic about it on our first little episode, but for lots of reasons, being a co-op is the idea that I had years ago, being a co-op felt to me like the path forward that I wanted to take in growing the business that didn't result in me being a CEO or a manager or holding all of the power or controlling other people, and created a more equitable workspace for everyone, flip the script on what work could look like.
Something that there's something that we've said in another episode, or maybe just in our weekly, something about moving away from extraction and towards building ecosystems that help the people within them thrive. That's how we've started to think about work with our clients' businesses as well. And then we try to reflect that philosophy back into the business that we're building, because capitalism is all about squeezing every last bit of value. I'm making air quotes now, out of something possible and optimizing to get the most out of it. And what we are trying to do is explore a model that allows us to exist within a capitalist hellscape, but takes care of us as a fundamental driving mechanism instead.
Yeah. So I want to throw a question back at you now that we're having this chat. You have been a subcontractor for Strange Birds for 2 years?
Two
Is
and a
that right?
half.
2 years?
Two and a half, yeah. I joined in
What?
August 2 years
It's
ago.
like 3. Okay, so emotionally 3, actually 2. How does it feel to know that soon you won't just be a contractor, you will be an official member slash co-owner? How does it feel?
I'm going to draw a direct parallel to me seeking my Spanish citizenship next year. Do I need Spanish citizenship? No, I do not. I have Spanish residency through marriage. I can stay here indefinitely. It'll give me access to voting, which is cool. Go vote. But apart from that, there's not a major shift that's going to happen in a practical way. But there's an enormous emotional component of a sense of belonging and identity and having alignment both internally and with the paperwork. It matters in an alignment sort of way.
I think it's also for me thinking about you, like not just being a contractor, it's almost like a weight off my shoulders. Even though we share a lot of the tasks, it's still legally, it all comes down to me. And man, I'm excited to share that load.
Yes, it's not just symbolic. I think there is an identity shift that will happen for both of us in a way that builds more of the business we want to see in the world, and that's really cool.
Yeah, and
Speaking
on,
of which, please, were we
well,
both going to transition? That was quite beautiful.
I don't know. I was going to say on our big list of like things to do for the conversion, the last one is drink vermouth and celebrate. I'm just also ready to have some vermouth. Let's go.
Yes, and you're going to be coming out here in February. So we got a deadline. Let's go.
Oh, perfect. Love it. Deadline.
Right?
We can actually have vermouth together.
In person, it'll be brilliant.
And it'll be better vermouth because it'll be vermouth from Spain. And you have
Exactly.
to
And the good
spend
olives.
so much, yeah, you have to spend so much money in the US to get good vermouth here.
I got
I
your
only
back.
do it every once in a while. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. That sounds great. Okay, what was your transition?
One of the, I think, more interesting things that we did in our business this last year was figure out a way to move forward through really difficult decisions. And we explored that in episode 5, I think. But that's one of the ways, even though we aren't legally filed as a co-op yet, we have found that this is the way in which we want to be a co-op. And we have a framework for when we come up against difficult decisions, like should we distribute our podcast on Spotify or not? We have a way to move through that together and come to a collective decision. Even if it's not one that everyone completely agrees, like, and that's what they would do if it was just them at the steering wheel, we all say, okay, this is acceptable to move forward. And that kind of mechanism is what makes a co-op run. It's what makes a co-op be a co-op, apart from the legal filing. And so that's really cool seeing that kind of stuff come to life.
Well, and open books, right? So because the business is legally mine, I have access to all the accounts. I have access to QuickBooks. Like my hands are in all of those pies, right? You just get to see whatever I happen to share with you. And it took us a bit, but I think we finally figured out a process and a system. Like, this is the state of our books, right? We have X amount of fund money. Do we want to invest in something this year? What do we want to invest in? And we've had a lot of conversations about investments this year and about what we want to save up our extra money for in the future. And that, I think, also is a really big part of cooperative work, is being comfortable talking about money. And we had to figure that out. There were a couple moments where there was some like feelings that happened around it, and we had to really work through it. And we're always gonna, I think that's gonna be the piece that, especially if we start exploring, do we wanna add a third person to our co-op potentially next year? That'd be cool for a lot of reasons. But we have to get this part really locked in, because that is a huge part of cooperative work, is open books, right? Going back to your question of, Anna, why are you excited for this conversion? That's not how you sound, but that was the question. To be frank, the industry is a little rough. Expanding into more skill sets with more cool people is going to help the longevity of this business. So it's also thinking about setting everything up so we can more easily do that when we're ready to. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I've been thinking a lot about our evolution as of late and in relationship to the market. Like, this business has transformed wildly since I've come on board. Like you wisely said, when a new person joins, it's not figuring out how to adapt the business. It's a new business. And I expect the same to be true whenever it becomes time to bring on another person. Hopefully, there will be the scaffolding to like hold them as we figure out what that new business is. But I think that is a major strength of ours in a market that shifts every time you blink. We don't get stuck in thinking we are the best at delivering X and X is all we do. We continually examine what is it that we're bringing to the table and what do we want to put back out into the world? And like, how do we find the overlap in money between those two things that helps us continue doing that in the long run? And the answer to that shifts all the time. And I am hopeful that by getting in the next person who's a great fit for that, the answer to that is just it's gonna expand and be like even more of an interesting puzzle and going to help us continue evolving in a way that's sustainable and creative and all the good things over time.
So part one, scaffolding. You just got to listen to us talk about all the business development stuff, which is super interesting. Part two is containers. And containers are the things that we build in order to hold big feelings, complex ideas. Think of it like creative constraints, right? This is the space that we've built in order to feel safe to explore things that might be hard or complex. 2025, I think, Janelle, you wrote in our notes, was the year we stuck to building a business to hold the people within it, despite the year trying to eat us alive.
My
This
goodness.
year,
Yeah.
we can curse on this podcast. This year fucking sucked in both of our personal lives. It was really rough, really rough. Summer was really slow business-wise. We were also dealing with a lot of bullshit and a lot of hard things in our personal lives. And so it was honestly good that summer was really slow. I don't know if either of us would have been able to handle a lot of work. And then it really picked back up. And I made the observation that it picked back up, one, because like people come alive in September and they realize, oh shit, the end of the year, we should probably do something, right? That's normal market, like ups and downs. But how it picked back up this year was really interesting. And for me, the reason why we're still successful and we're still here isn't because we prioritize showing up consistently for strange birds. This year, we prioritize showing up consistently for each other, because you know what? Strange birds is us. It is our energy. It's our ability to show up. And this year was so hard that if we had done the usual thing of show up consistently for your job, just like you just gotta show up, you gotta work, you gotta do this thing or else the business will flounder. Like, we literally couldn't do that sometimes. And so it was making sure that there was the right container that one of us, we tended to take turns, it seemed. One of us was like, I'm a mess. I just can't even think this week. The other person was like, I got you. And then it would be the next person, like we would switch. So I think it's, yeah, I'm gonna, that was a long speech, but something for everyone to think about is when you see the business advice of just show up. The people who are successful are consistent. Decide what you are showing up for. Is it the business or is it for yourself? And when does that need to switch? Because if you show up for yourself, you know what? You're also showing up for the business. And that's what we did this year.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I do think that consistency is the key, that who you're showing up for is the thing. Yeah. Pneumonia is no joke, people. Don't get pneumonia. 0 out of 10, not recommended, among other things. But yeah, I think that continuing to show up for ourselves was really doubling down on those values of we are human first. I think that's the first post-it that we ever created in our first summit before I even hopped on to Strange Birds. Our very first brainstorming session has a post-it that says, we are human first, I think. And that's always been our guiding light. And even as we grow and things take more shape and we start becoming more confident in our ability to do bigger and more impactful work, that still will always come first, I hope. And we built the business around that value. And yeah, I mean, that really is quite different than a lot of the business ethos out there. And I think for the better.
Yeah. And to combine part one scaffolding, part two containers together, a more concrete example of how we built this into the system itself is for our co-op, full time is defined as someone who works 25 hours or more a week. That's pretty low hourly work in a week for a full-time position. But we work really fast when we're focused, and sometimes you just can't work more than that. It's just not physically or emotionally possible, and that's also okay.
I wanted to make sure to ask you to talk a little bit about the Bird Brain Summit that we held, because I think that was a cool thing that we did in this respect.
Yeah, as we've so subtly alluded to, this year was shit for us. It just put a lot of pressure on us and frankly on our relationship. And there were all of these like little things that kept making both of us like feel awful. Like we had some conflict and we were like, what is going on? And then we realized, hey, okay, we might have been friends for almost 2 decades. This is a new circumstance that this friendship and this relationship is going through. We need to have a serious conversation about how our brains work. I have depression. My brain works sometimes slowly or at a more chugging along pace. And your brain works really fast. And there's different ways that both of us prefer to have feedback given, ways that like channels or how we like to communicate. There were just a lot of things that, because we were feeling so much pressure from everywhere else, it made all of those minutiae feel really big. So we had what we called our Bird Brain Summit. Janelle, you found some really great questions for us that we filled out before the summit as homework. What were some of the questions?
It's a good question itself, but I'm going to actually open it because they were really good. Okay, we kicked off starting about what energizes me, what drains me, how do I prefer to communicate, how do I prefer to receive feedback, how do I approach big decisions or new ideas, what are different triggers and how do I prefer to deal with conflict, where I maybe get stuck or need support, and in what form of support might help get me going again, how I might ask for that or how you might notice that I would need that. We got pretty granular about it. And also, we gave ourselves a little opportunity to appreciate the other person within that. And we called it like the unsung hero bit. I think this was your concept, actually, Anna, because you're brilliant. And we call it everyday Monday kind of things that we just love about the other person. Because there was a point this year where we were just like, oh, everything about the other person's rubbing me the wrong way. And then taking a moment to be like, wait a second. Okay, we're zooming way in on these parts where, yeah, we legitimately are in tension. But there is a ton about the way we complement each other that actually works really great. So having that as a counterbalance to come in less combative and more collaborative, which is what we always aim for. So that became a lot of jumping off points for a really intensive conversation and a lot of self-reflection before that too. And it took me a long time to get through this and consider, well, how do I want to deal with conflict? I don't deal with conflict at all. But then thinking, if I have to, which we do because we're human, how do I best want to get through that? And what structure might support me through that? This stuff, if you've never done it in a business context before, can sound like it's very fluff. It's in fact the opposite. It's the way to get through feelings, which are naturally present because we are people, in a way that's a lot more respectful and actually efficient. I know I'm going to use that word after dissing optimization, but it's a way of getting through those moments of tension more quickly and with a lot more kindness and mindful self-compassion. If I'm going to quote Elijah in our episode 8, I'm just making all the references, aren't I? Than you would if you're just like barreling through and trying to separate out feelings from work, because work isn't a place where you feel things, which is bullshit. We don't believe in that. That's not the container we're building.
Yeah. And I think it's important for us to talk about it here because I think we both knew all of the things the other person wrote about themselves, right? Like, I knew all of the ways that you like to be communicated and given feedback, but they were all unspoken assumptions and observations. It's very different when the other person directly tells you, this is what works for me. And there were some things that I had thought that you were like, actually, no, this is better. So even if you've been working with someone for a really long time and you're like, yeah, we should just know this by now, which happens in every freaking relationship. Use this in your personal ones too. You get this, you get stubborn, right? I should just know this. That person should just know this about me. If it's a consistent conflict, they don't.
Yes.
And it, yeah, and talk about it.
Yeah, we can share these questions out. They're ones that I lifted from various parts of the internet where people had thought about it first, and then I just made my own list, but happy to share that out with people.
Yeah, and do you want to talk about, I'd love to hear how working together felt after we did that summit.
There is a thing in cognitive behavioral training therapy, which I have my criticisms of, but that's not what the podcast episode is about. But one thing that I do like about it is, can you help your brain, instead of just reacting to something, can you help it when it sees something that it expected to see, be like, oh, I expected to see that. There that thing is. Uh-huh, there it is. And that way, instead of when you do something in a way that I wouldn't have done, instead of me being like, oh my God, they did it in this way, I could be like, oh, that maps to the thing that we talked about. There's that thing. And not have a big emotional reaction about it, or be like, oh, thanks, Brain and Anna, for telling me this is the way that I do things. It, I guess, like that expectation setting, I am big on that. And knowing what's going to come up and being told specifically, this is how I prefer things, this is how I work under stress, it really helps smooth that kind of stuff out. How do you feel?
I feel really good. I think, can I talk about how we approach, you and I approach time?
Please.
Output differently? Okay, so I think for me, the biggest thing that helped me understand where, for me, what felt like the root of a lot of our conflict was time spent on the business. So I mentioned before, I have depression. I am like a slow train chugging along, but I keep chugging. If I get off the tracks, if I take a break, like a 4-day weekend or a longer vacation, which I do, I'm not saying I don't take vacation, it is unbelievably difficult for me to get back on that train. I also can't sustain working more than 6 hours every day. Like, my brain will break. I do not do well under that type of pressure. This is why I'm unhirable. It's fine. I work like maybe 4 hours a day, sometimes five. There was one point in November where I had 2 weeks of 8-hour days because we just had a lot to get through. And it was exhausting for me. And I cried a lot, but I got through it, right? I can't sustain that. Now, your end, you thrive on like longer work days, super focused. So if you think about the train metaphor, I'm like, boop, chug it along. And you like have these intensive sprints, but you take a lot of vacation. And that started to feel a little bit like a conflict where I was like, oh, you're out again? Like, where are you going? And you were like, you're never out. So I don't know. And so if we think about how we work with in terms of time spent on the business, you're fast training, right? You're like speeding right along. Definitely going to pass me in terms of like things you're thinking about, output, etc. And then you go on vacation and I chug along and I catch up. Boop. I wish you could, not everyone's going to be watching this video, but I'm making lots of hand gestures. The train's chugging. I chug along, I catch up. You come back from vacation, you speed along, and then I catch up again. Mm-hmm. And I think that basic understanding for me is not something I recognized without having our Bird Brain Summit conversation. And it was making me feel like I wasn't showing up enough for the business, or I was letting you down, and I felt like I was always behind. And I'm like, wait a second, I just work at a different pace. It's not that I'm behind, I'm just at a different pace. I catch up.
And
You take breaks. That was huge.
yes, it also helped really reframe the strength of having those two different brains in the room, right? Because it's not just about taking time off, it's about how we approach the work itself. The way that we lovingly refer to how I will approach a new project is kudzu brain. I will take the material and then be super expansive with it. And I need the equivalent of a giant whiteboard. If you see my initial Miro brainstorms, you'll understand why we use the term kudzu. And that can be a lot to deal with. From there, I go into synthesis, but like at the beginning, it's a lot of ideas all over the place. I will test things out even when I know that they aren't quite the right fit yet. And I will produce a lot in a very short amount of time because that's just how I get through things. That's how I understand things. This is very overwhelming to a chugging along, stay the course brain. But I need that in order to turn that super expansion into something that's going to make sense for other people and something that's going to keep the project on the rails and remind me of, oh, this is the scope of this. Here's the direction that we're meant to go. Here's the North Star. Like we bounce off of each other. I think it's no mistake that the main button in our Notion portal is called ping pong. Like we throw things back and forth to each other because we play off each other's strengths. And the Bird Brain Summit was a way of highlighting those. They're not just moments of tension, but rather they're ways in which we complement each other to build something that's even cooler.
You're really good at looking at things from a bunch of different angles that I never would have thought of. And I'm pretty good at looking at all those angles and then synthesizing them back down. Is that be fair?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the speed with which we work, my slow train and your fast train, those paces actually support that type of thinking as well, which is super freaking helpful. Yeah, something to think about. If you're having, dear listener, some conflict with a coworker, take a moment to notice the speed with which they work. It could be an interesting exercise.
So, as we reach the end of the year podcast, you got any favorite moments that we've done so far in Flying the Coop?
I'm just really proud that we launched it, number one. It has been a thing that we've been talking about since we started together.
Since
And
before we
now it's
started.
live. Since before we started. And now it's live and we have what, 9 episodes? Eight? Seven?
No, this is episode 10.
Episode 10.
I know.
Hell yeah. That's been a huge accomplishment. We've talked to, I feel like it's like picking my favorite child. I have enjoyed every single conversation that we've had. I have learned so much from our guests, and we've talked to people that we had never met before, but we connected somehow, usually through your magic, Janelle. And it's just, oh, you're really fucking cool. Teach me stuff. So that's been really awesome.
Maybe this is a better question. What have you learned?
Oh God, is that a better question?
Yeah.
Oh, I've learned so much though. You go first.
Okay. I was really struck by Jacqueline talking about how she practices law in a way that can, in fact, be healing. I had never thought about how we set up the legal boundaries around our business as actually being a way of healing some of the stuff that we have to endure by virtue of being in the world that we live in. And that has informed how I view legal structures going forward. Because to me, that always was like this pesky thing that, like, oh, we have to deal with that, I guess, because somebody wants us to dot an I across T. But like, that was monumental for me.
I think for me is the thing, I've learned something from every episode, and something that I've noticed, if I'm going to not answer your question and just say something that I've noticed because I'm sly like that, is every single episode I have a very clear takeaway that has directly impacted how we run our business. And that has been really freaking cool. And for me, fulfilling the goal that I had of the podcast of like interviewing cool people, learning from them, and helping and having that help our co-op journey. Every single person has taught me something that I'm like, oh, cool. Integrate that tomorrow.
You're making me want to do a proper retrospective using that lens of sitting down and like looking at them all and thinking, what is the thing that I took away from that? And like writing it might be a cool thing to do. I'm not trying to give us homework, but that idea makes me feel energized, so I might do it. So what are you hoping for the
Oh.
podcast next year, or for the business, or for your life? I'm just kidding.
Oh
But
boy.
answer one of
For my
those.
life, I would like a lifetime supply of the highest quality chocolate in the world. That's what I want for my life. For the business, actually fully officially converting into a co-op and beginning the journey of deciding how to expand to more members. For the podcast, I just want to keep interviewing cool people. I would love to interview more co-op people. So if you're listening to this and you're part of a co-op or you have a co-op organization or whatever, reach out. I want to talk to you more.
For the podcast, I really want to guest star on some other podcasts. I had some kindred souls out there. I think that would be really cool and help us continue telling our stories in different containers. And then we learn more about the different forms they can take. And that's awfully interesting. For the business, yeah, ditto. Figuring out how we grow. We made an allusion earlier to framework, the way that we're thinking about our own business and our clients' businesses. And I want that to take shape and drive how we evolve going forward and potentially integrate a new member. My goodness, wouldn't that be cool? And for my life, I want to cook more from that Sammy Tamimi cookbook that we both own. Yeah, I'm not going to
Fun
say the
fact,
name
oh,
because I'm going to say it like it's Catalana. Bustania? That's not right.
I say Bustani, say it like I'm a Midwestern. Fun fact for everyone listening, that's adorable. Janelle and I have the same cookbook. It's a Palestinian vegetable cookbook, and we are both cooking from it, and we send each other, oh, you should make this recipe. Oh, you should make this one. Oh, this one's really good. It's a fantastic cookbook. Everything that I've made from it is absolutely freaking delicious. Oh, yeah, I think I'm gonna cook from that this weekend.
Enjoy. Flying the Coop is brought to you by Strange Birds, a strategic messaging co-op for businesses who care loudly. From websites to onboarding flows, launches to long-term strategy, if you want your brand, offers, and experience to tell the same story, we can help. Find us at strangebirds.land.